Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. I say it every episode. I mean it every episode. I never take it for granted that you come back and listen, that you interact and send me emails to successfuldiligence.com, that you click the link in the show notes to send a voice message, that you engage, that you listen, that you show up, that you support. I have the best audience ever anywhere, I am convinced. And that is why I am so passionate about bringing you value-added conversation with value-added human beings. And today, you all are in for a treat. I am so excited to introduce you to John Bentley. Now, like you, John has experienced ups and downs in life. One moment you're riding cloud nine, and then you become confused, not quite sure of where you're going, where to turn, what is happening in life, hashtag 2020. And John has come to understand that leading yourself is the key to solving problems that occur so that you can live a life that is fulfilled and meaningful. Now, John has had a successful and honorable career in the Air Force. And after he retired from the Air Force, he didn't just lay back in retirement and sip margaritas by the Florida Keys. He founded Power to Transform. And since 2003, his sole focus is on teaching people how to master the art of self-leadership, especially when faced with adversity. And his goal, whether it's speaking or coaching or training or just having conversation, is always the same: to equip people to leverage their strengths, mitigate their limitations so that they can positively influence themselves and others. Now, I do want to brag on him a little bit and let you know that some of his satisfied customers include the Department of Defense, Northeast Georgia Health System, the Cullman Regional Medical Center, Bon Secours Mercy Health System, UAB Cancer Center, Merck Pharmaceutical, Alabama Farm Credit, and numerous others as well. And he has received several industry awards, and I could list them all, and I don't want to take the time, but if you check him out by clicking in the show notes, you will read all about him. He is also an author, and he recently published 52 Ways to Motivate Yourself. He has authored several articles. He's featured in the book Speaking of Success, along with other business experts such as Ken Blanchard, Jack Canfield, Stephen Covey. I know you know those people, and now you know John Bentley. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. What an awesome, awesome introduction. And I can tell you, I'm excited to be with you. I'm excited to be with your listening audience. I love your energy. And as we all know, I didn't get to do all of that because of me. I got to do it because people loved and poured into me and saw what my capabilities and my potential were and helped me transform that into high performance that yields payoffs, not only for me, but for other people. And I'm excited to be with you today.
Well, I'm so glad you answered the call and paid attention to other people's, what they poured into you and invested and responded. So for the audience, to give them a little bit of background about how you came to do the work you're doing now, because I mean, we could probably do a whole episode about your career in the Air Force, but I'd really like to focus on how did you get to where you are now and what you're doing now, because it's so profoundly impactful.
Well, thank you, Michelle. And I'll take you back to my 10-year anniversary in the Air Force. It was April 9th, 1992, and I was leaving the Air Force, and you shared that I retired because they were drawing down the size of the Air Force. And oh, get this, they were going to give me $25,000. You know, that solved this 31-year-old's problems, wow. All his problems. Now, you know right away that's a myth. And I was leaving because they weren't promoting me fast enough. Ego, ego, ego. Look at me. I'm, you know, I got to be the smartest. And the most respected individual in a 1200 person organization, Russell White, took a Coke can, shook it, handed it to me and asked me to open it. Well, of course you can imagine what I said. No way I'm opening that. And he said, why not? I said, well, you see, Mr. White, when I pop that top, what's in there will spew on you and I. It'll be sticky, nasty, and it won't feel good. Now, he took the Coke can, got down to my level, about 5'7", looked me in the eye, and he was truthful and kind. Now get that, truthful and kind, not truthful or kind. Because if you're just truthful, I'm going to tell you what I want to tell you, and I don't really care how you feel. I'm going to be right, and I'm going to win. And if you're just kind, it's like walking on eggshells. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want my feelings hurt. But we really don't get to the real issue. So he was truthful and kind, and here's what he said. John, you're like this Coke can when things don't go your way. And you think you got to be the smartest person or the most responsible person in a room, you spew all over people. And here's what he followed it up with. He said, until you learn to lead yourself, you'll never earn the right to lead others. You will always struggle, remain frustrated, and limit your opportunities for success. So that day I vowed to try to understand, and I've been on that journey since that day. Why is it that I spiral out of control when things get difficult, or I really go back to what the big issue was? I'm not good enough. And I've worked to overcome that, and now I share that message with others.
That is so profound. And thank you for sharing so transparently. And I'd love to just highlight, listeners, did you catch that? Truthful and kind. And the other thing that you said that I'd love to unpack a little bit more is that you have to earn the right to lead others. And before you can earn that right, you've got to master leading yourself. I love that.
So that is beautiful. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Michelle.
No, I love that. I want you to help me and my listening audience understand, what does it mean to lead yourself? Like, what is that? What does it look like? How do you do it? People talk about these words, and I'd love to unpack them to make sure we're talking about the same thing. So what is self-leadership? How do you do it? And yeah, let's start there.
Yeah, it's basically intentionally impacting the way you think, the emotions you have, and the behaviors that go along with that. So here's what I like to say. And right now, going on in the world, most of my phone calls are, John, I'm reacting to everything. I'm not being true to who I am, and I need you to help me walk through this. So what I share is, I work with you on 5 imperatives to help you think clearly, behave wisely, and model success even in difficult times. So it really is a lot about self-awareness and understanding the events and people over time that influenced you, and how that has allowed you now to create a leadership blueprint of, here's how I'm going to behave when things are going well or not well. So we take people on that magical journey of being able to look at themselves and recognize their greatness versus looking at what they think's wrong with them. Because it's those things that sometimes we think are wrong that are actually our strengths that cause us to be able to positively influence ourselves and others. And you know, today, with all the pressures on us, here's what's happening. Because people can't lead themselves under these new pressures, they blow up or they clam up. And if they blow up, what they do is they dig in, they force your way on others and turn you into a thing. And if they clam up, they basically give in and allow you to walk on all over them. So in either way, they're not positively influencing themselves, and there's no way they can positively influence others in those situations.
Yeah, that brings up so much, because you're talking about mindfulness, self-awareness, telling the truth to yourself, and being value-based as you utilize your superpower of choice to make decisions,
yes,
to respond versus react. And I love that. And I love the fact that you're talking about the mind, because you've got to get your mind correct before you can choose your behavior. And that's really what impacts other people. And you deal with the consequences of your behavior as well. So I love to talk a little bit more. So when someone is experiencing adversity, I'm going through, you know, illness, I'm going through job loss, I'm going through trauma, how can we learn to master that self-leadership so that we don't negatively impact someone else and influence, you know, the world at large for not for the good? How do we do that?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And for me, one of the first imperatives is define and live your personal core values. Because you see, your personal core values become your moral compass, so that when things get tough, if I can relate back to that moral compass and just kind of sit with that for a while, then I can allow my values to drive my behavior in a way that not only am I loving and liking, other people are experiencing it too. So here's the story I'll tell. Just imagine, and this happened to me. I was out hunting as a young teenager. I was 14 and I had my compass because I was going deep into the woods. And sometimes I'm not very aware of my environment. Well, all of a sudden I hear a grunt, and whether it was real or not, in my mind, that's a wild hog, and it could be a mama hog. And guess what? She's coming after me. Well, I start running and I'm looking at my compass. But what's the needle on that compass doing? Because I'm running around crazily and haphazardly. It's spinning. So I couldn't determine where I needed to go to get back out of the woods, even though I knew I came in from the west. So I just took a deep breath, stopped, looked down at my compass, and it pointed to true north. I immediately knew where west was, and I was less than 100 feet from the road, but I couldn't recognize it when I was running around haphazardly. So I got out of the woods. I got out safely because I used my compass to point to true north. Now, how does that relate to core values? Well, over time, what I have developed is three behaviors for me. I want to be approachable, be teachable, and be helpful. Now, I back that up with the acronym WIN, that's W-I-N, WIN, W-I-N. So the behaviors I choose are welcome, diverse thinking, because that allows us to make the best decision with whatever information we have, whether it's a lot or a little bit. Then I inquire with curiosity because I want to strengthen the relationship, build trust, learn so that we have buy-in. And then I want to never stop serving others with my God-given talents. So here recently, I had agreed with someone that we would spend X amount of money on a particular item we were going to buy. But when the person came home, they said, "You're going to be mad at me. I didn't just buy one, I bought two." And sure enough, I felt it. And I wanted to blow up. And then I said, "Wait a minute. If I do that, am I being approachable? Am I being teachable? And can I be helpful?" So let's inquire with curiosity. "Well, I'm going to believe you had a great reason for purchasing that." "Yeah, remember the discussion we had about a month ago where Kelly was looking for a similar item? Well, since they were on sale, I went ahead and bought that similar item because we talked if we ever came across it that we would purchase it." So you see, if I'd have blown up, if I would have told them how wrong they were, if I would treat them as a thing, I would have hampered or hindered that relationship. But because I caught myself and went back to my moral compass, "Stop. Are you being approachable and teachable here?" "No, you're not." "Okay. Deep breath. Now inquire with curiosity." So that's the way I approach it, and would love to hear your input on that.
I absolutely love everything you just said because it's so practical, right? Because you're talking about using that deep breath and that pause, that tactical pause in the moment, so that you can get in touch with your foundation of core values that you mentioned, the three of yours. And that way you can choose to respond in a way that is in alignment with those core values. And you're right, when you are able to respond appropriately, mm-hmm. you get information you may not have had, and you also maintain that connection and that relationship. What I'd love to dive a little bit deeper into is the emotional control in regards to self-leadership, because you mentioned being aware of the emotions that bubble up, right? And then we have to choose based on our core values how we want to respond. But what do you do with that emotion? Because you have to release it somehow, right? So what do you do with that? How do you manage that so that you can stay in alignment with your core values?
Yeah, great question. And I'll share with you in the listening audience, and you're probably familiar with this. I call it path to action. So I will see and hear something. And let's just take that situation. You're going to be mad at me. I spent more money than we agreed upon. That is a fact. I can see it. I can hear it. I can measure it, right? Well, then we tell ourselves a story based on those facts. And those are facts. The story I told myself is, wow, why do we even have the conversation? Because you just disrespected me, right? Now, that's my story based on that fact. Doesn't mean that story's true. It's only my truth. But then the emotion hit, which was anger. Ooh, so what I've learned here recently is I don't say that I am angry. No, I am experiencing anger. I separate myself from the emotion. Because if I separate myself from the emotion, I can sit with it and go, okay, anger, just like the gauges on my automobile, you're a data point that is a framework for discovery and dialogue and decision-making. So anger, what are you telling me? Ah, you're telling me that you believe you're disrespected. And your action would be if you continue down that path, that thought, and let this emotion, this chemical amp up, is now you're going to lash out. So, okay, the anger, the emotion is okay. Let's don't act on it. Now what's going to help me work through and let that emotion subside? Where before in my life, I would bury those because let's face it, men don't cry. Also, you're to be seen and not heard. That's what I grew up with, right? So I learned to bury my emotions. I learned not to speak up. And then when I got out from under the control in my home, then when I would see people as my dad, even though I didn't recognize it, I'd rebel against them because I didn't know how to manage that emotion. So it's being able to name it to tame it. It's being able then to sit with it and say, I am not that emotion. I'm experiencing or feeling that emotion. It is a data point. It has no intellect, none whatsoever. What is it trying to tell me? Because see, an emotion is chemical and chemicals will subside. And so like the mindfulness you brought up, when I play golf, a similar concept, when I feel myself, don't hit it left. It'll go in the woods. It's going to cost you. Don't hit it left. Well, what am I thinking about? What the negative aspect? So I just circle breathe. I breathe in for four. Because now I'm focusing on my breaths. One, two, three, four. I hold it for two. One, two. I breathe out for six. One, two, three, four, five, six. So now what I've actually done is shifted my thought process to something I can focus on that is not negative or not positive. It's neutral, which then lets me swing the golf club or then which lets me get back to, are you being approachable? Are you being teachable? Because if you're not, you can't be helpful. So that circle breathing helps me stop like I did with my compass running in the woods, get centered on me and my breathing, and then make a choice based on my moral compass.
Oh, John, the way you break it down and explain it is so eloquent and beautiful, and it demonstrates how to manage and lead yourself. Because what you're talking about is your self-talk, your self-narrative, using biochemical and physical things to change your state of being physically, because you release different chemicals and hormones, you release energy, right? When you take a deep breath and calm your mind and your body, you are releasing the stress from you.
Yes.
And so I love the way you explained it though, because it was so eloquently practical. Listeners, you need to go and hit that rewind button, because that was so beautifully said. I don't know if I've ever heard it as beautifully said as you just explained it. So thank you for that, because you're absolutely right. And it is so key when you're trying to work towards mastering that self-leadership, so then you can then be able to gift the world with who you are and who what you have to offer. Because we're all born with a purpose, whether we agree with that or not. We are all here for a reason. And there is a gift inside of us, a talent inside of us that needs to be released to the world. And speaking of gift, because I know this is going to be a bridge to talk about power to transform. What is that? And talk about the evolution of founding that power to transform. Where did it come from? And the evolution of where it's going, because it's so exciting where it's going.
Yeah, I started the company back in 2003 with the goal of just providing leadership and team building training. And over time, if you look up the definition of the word power, it's really ability. So I work with people and help them gain the ability to then transform, which is becoming something you're not, similar to a cocoon becoming a butterfly, you know, that caterpillar becoming a butterfly, because that caterpillar actually spins the silk and builds the cocoon for them to then become and transform into that butterfly. So I work with leaders and teams that want to connect, communicate, and collaborate so they can achieve better results faster with less stress and more fun. And all that boils down to really is, how do I show up in the moment and be my true authentic self? And that may be even saying, hey, I'm not 100% into this project right now. I'm just going to share that with you. Let me get this out. Let me talk this through. People accept that what I'm saying and thinking and feeling. And then when I get that out, boom, okay, let's go. How can I help? So it's just teaching people how to have mutual respect for what people are thinking and feeling and going through, while creating mutual purpose that not only can I achieve goals for myself using my own natural talents, look at who I get to help to choose something bigger than myself.
I love it. And it's so funny that you bring up the butterfly, because listeners, you know, we've got the butterfly transformation course, and that is a key metaphor that I use all the time. Now, I know that you have written articles and a book, and you've got one coming. I'm just putting you out there on blast. And so talk to me about discovering your gift and your talent to share your message, your thoughts, your heart with the world in written form. Why did you choose to start writing, and what has that meant for you?
Well, I'll go back to December the 11th, 2010. I lost my 28-year-old daughter to complication of prescription drug addiction. And I really had a lot of guilt and regret with that, and gained about 50 pounds. And a friend of mine said, hey, John, why don't you take some quotes that really speak to you? But don't just read through them. I want you to journal what that quote means to you, and and then maybe identify two or three ways to carry it out. So I did that, lost about 30 pounds, and then recognized that by putting my focus on not just myself and poor, pitiful me, but how these quotes inspired me, but could then inspire others, I published that book, 52 Ways to Motivate Yourself. And it's really a weekly read where you read a quote, you read about 300 words on getting your thought process moving around that quote, 3 bullet points on how to do it, and then you've got some self-reflection questions. But that also turned into the word gift, and which you mentioned earlier, that God put on my heart after my daughter's death. And gift is the acronym for God's image, fulfill talent. So you are made in God's image to fulfill your talent in service to others. And here's why I believe he put that on my heart. You see, I was there for my daughter physically, but I wasn't there for her emotionally. And what I mean by physically, well, it was pretty straightforward. I would make sure that she had money for food, money for shelter. She had my 5-year-old grandson, and I wanted her taken care of, but I was never there emotionally to sit with her in what could be her pain and what she was going through. And what I discovered after her death through her Facebook page, 60 people commented on how she used her gift, even in her darkest hour, to show them that they were loved, that they were worthy, and that they can make a difference for themselves and others.
That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Even in our darkest moments, we can still influence and impact others for good. And that is such a special, special thing about being human. Because as a human being that's made it to the earth, whatever your faith foundation is, there is the Spirit of God in you in some capacity. Yes. And so the fact that you can keep walking through adversity and still be able to release good to the world and to others is just phenomenal. And so I love that. One thing that I wanted, just actually two more things I wanted to talk about. And the first one is, you know, you've talked a lot about mastering that self-talk and that self-narrative, and where you've come from, and the gains and the conquering that you've been able to achieve through self-leadership, right? And utilizing the techniques that you teach. Talk to me as a man about self-forgiveness, because I believe that forgiveness is something that we extend to others a lot more frequently and freely than we often do to ourselves, depending on your personality type. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I'll go back to growing up. My dad was a very disciplined man, and I love my dad, and he passed away 6 months after my daughter passed away. He had had a stroke, and for 4 years couldn't talk, couldn't move, couldn't take care of himself, even though his mind was right. Well, growing up, he would always ask me, did you do your best? Are you sure that you did that right? And the comments led to my emotionally immature brain that you're not good enough. And I carried that over into my adult life. So I was always searching for those external things to give me self-worth and self-value, like the positions at work, being the smartest person in the room, the houses, the cars, the way I dressed, and people liking me, certain people, you know, people, key people liking me. And what I discovered is I could never achieve it. And through my daughter's death, God helped me realize I had that identity crisis. And that I was, even though I'd accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'd surrendered enough to be saved. I hadn't surrendered enough for him to transform me more into the likeness of Christ. And part of that, even with my daughter's death and you're saying about forgiveness, for me, what it really boiled down to was opening God's word and seeing how much he loved me and stopped comparing him to my earthly father and recognized that everybody in the Bible had something that was not potentially perfect about them, but yet God used them to serve and further his purpose. So what I have done is now when I allow myself, I just share with you, I allow myself 6 mistakes a day and I don't use them all. I roll them over, but I got to call my wife to see if I got rollovers. And that has been the biggest thing, is learning not to condemn myself, which that has been broken recently when someone offered to edit my book. They reviewed 2 chapters. Yeah, I want to edit this. I'd paid them. And they called me 3 days before it was due and said, John, I'm going to refund your money, that this is full of biblical content and you're not a theologian. I don't think it's going to do what you want. And please don't be mad at me. So I just typed an email, said, hey, thanks for being truthful and kind. It's all good. And then she called me. So, you know, and I'd never condemn myself. So quit beating yourself up. Recognize that the things that come easy to you is what God's gifted you to do. The things that are tough doesn't mean you can't do them, but don't look at everything's got to be hard in order for you to go, look at me. No. What God gifted you with, the things that are easy for you to do, is what he wants you to pour into the world and others.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And, you know, there's a couple of things you said that I really want to highlight for you listeners. And that is that giving yourself the grace to make mistakes allows you to recognize that you're not perfect, because there is no perfection this side of heaven. It's an illusion. We strive for excellence. And I think the key when I think about forgiveness is taking that judgment away, because really and truly, if you are a believer in Christ, you don't have the right to judge. That's not given to you, right? You can look into, now my husband disagrees with that, because he says, well, you look at the Bible and you can, but even Christ said that he didn't come to judge, he came to save, right? And connect. And so for me, in my journey towards self-forgiveness, a lot of it had to do with being aware, utilizing a lot of the techniques that you mentioned in our conversation, and understanding that the fact that I'm here and God continues to let me to live and breathe and do means that there's value, means that there's worth, right? And who am I to disagree with who created me, right? And so that allowed me to extend forgiveness to myself that I was extending to other people. You brought up the word purpose, which is a perfect segue, because when I think of purpose, for me, it's not why something happened. Purpose is what you do with what happened to you. And so what I am taking away from your story is that all of the adversity, all of the lessons, good, bad, otherwise, everything that you have experienced, you have taken that and are doing good with it, which is creating that purpose out of it. And I just absolutely love that. John, you are amazing, doing amazing things. If you had one or two things that you really want the audience to walk away from our conversation with, what would it be?
Yeah, the first thing is that self-compassion and self-love. And I'll say this, I'm not saying the past does not give us lessons which can help us in the present and the future, but as long as you are a prisoner to your past, you'll never be a pioneer in the present. And so sit back, write a letter about your past, write a letter, look at how you were influenced, the events and things that happened, whether they were caused by you or caused by others. Because here's what I learned the day of I didn't learn it the day of my daughter's funeral, but the pastor opened up with, "Rejoice always, always rejoice in the Lord." And that hit me. I said, if we weren't in church and it was just you and me, I'd get up off this pew and we'd go at it. And then over time, what I recognize is, just like you said, all the events in the past that when I learn from them, what they allow me to do is then use my gifts with purpose now. And because what God wanted me to do was lean into Him, just lean into Him and let Him use that to transform me more into the likeness of Christ, which won't be complete till I go to heaven. However, He's going to put opportunities in my path that are going to challenge me, because He knows He has more for me to do. And if I'm willing to join Him, He's going to use me in mighty ways, which might just be for one person, or you never know. He might use me to shape a whole community, because He works through me to be the vessel for His love that pours out on others that they may not be experiencing right now.
I love that. And is not that the definition of leadership?
I would think so. You influencing yourself to influence others. And if you look at how Jesus led, He did it through example by serving others.
I love it. I love it. John, oh, I'm so, so glad that we are connected. And for the listener who is just resonating with what you're saying, what you're talking about, your voice, who you are, if they're like, I need more of John, I need to hear him, I need to see him speak, I need to read, where can people find you? How can they connect with you?
Sure. Can certainly connect with me on Facebook, and it's John Bentley Speaks. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn, John Bentley Speaks. And I'll share that I've got a free offer for your listening audience. And I promise when they finish the mini course, there will never be another email to try to sell them anything. I want to gift this to them. And it's the mini course on the 5 imperatives for mastering self-leadership. So it's 5 short videos, and each video comes with an exercise to work on. So you're going to be able to define and clarify your values. You're going to look at whether your convictions help or hinder. You're also going to learn how to adapt your behavior based on the situation and circumstances. Then look at how emotional triggers that when you don't deal with them, they deal with you. And then finally, you'll learn how to write your own leadership blueprint, so you know how you're going to behave when things are going good or bad. And you can go to www.trainleadersvirtually.com. So that's www.trainleadersvirtually.com/5 imperatives. And you'll be able to sign up there and be able to automatically download those YouTube videos and the exercises that go with it.
Talk about a gift. Thank you so much. Listeners, I encourage you to click the link in the show note for that. That is something that I'm going to do today. And I'm just so good. That is so generous. Thank you so much. You're right. Self-leadership really is the key to living a life of impact and fulfillment that will, what I always say, make you want to get up on a Monday morning, right? And so I just love that. You have shared so transparently and so much value. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome, Michelle. Thanks so much for creating the dialogue for us and us learning with each other and sharing with your audience. It's been wonderful.
This has been incredible. And listeners, as I always say, keep walking, always, always keep walking. Never stop walking, because if you continue to walk one step at a time, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. You will uncover your purpose. And on the journey, I always encourage you to always, always choose gratitude. as you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life.